Hi, everyone, and welcome to English Digest. My name is Joe.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
Now, today we're talking about travel, but we're also talking about food. And
Yay.
I know for me, food is half the journey. If I'm going to go somewhere,
yeah.
I'm going not only to see the sights, but I want to eat the local food.
Uh-huh.
I want to try a lot of different stuff. I like to eat anything that I might think is kind of weird or strange or
scary.
Different, even scary. We're not talking about scary food today. We're just talking about some really delicious type stuff. It's the epic Australian food odyssey. Have you ever been to Australia?
No, I haven't, but they are very well known for having very fresh, delicious food.
That's right. They have some of the top restaurants in the world down under, which is what we also refer to Australia as. We call it down under because, it's kind of tucked down under on the bottom side of the globe, depending on which way you want to look at things. And they are known for having great food. They're known for the outback, they're known for kangaroos, they're known for a lot of different things. So, we're going to be introduced to the country through food on the epic Australian food odyssey.
Cool.
Let's go ahead and read through our article, and then we'll be back. What do you get when you mix travel and adventures with fresh food and a love of cooking? TLC's new show, Surfing the Menu, Next Generation, of course. Guiding you along this succulent odyssey through heavenly feasts are two of Australia's finest chefs, Dan Churchill and Hayden Quinn. Their experience and expertise in the kitchen. Both have been cooking since childhood and competed on MasterChef Australia. Make them the perfect hosts as they travel across Australia in search of the freshest ingredients and, naturally, the best surf spots. The first episode sees Dan and Hayden on the road to Noosa, a small resort town on the Sunshine Coast. Tourists flock to Noosa not only for its white sand beaches and tropical rainforests, but also for its famed markets full of brightly colored produce, freshly baked bread, and dairy products straight from the farm. Dan and Hayden are in paradise as they stroll through the stalls, sampling everything from olive oil to juicy pineapples. They finally find what they're looking for in the market, kimchi, a popular Korean dish of pickled cabbage and red chili peppers, preserved with various other vegetables and seasonings. Dan plans to use kimchi in his recipe for Korean pork with kimchi and coconut rice. After gathering the proper ingredients, they head to a cooking station overlooking the green Australian countryside and set the recipe in motion. Before long, they've crafted a dish of melt-in-your-mouth pork neck topped with bok choy kimchi and the finishing touch, a perfectly fried egg. With only a few simple ingredients and some tantalizing Asian flavors, Dan and Hayden transport viewers away from Australia and into the fragrant kitchens of South Korea. All right, that is the epic Australian food odyssey, day one, and I'm already hungry. Let's go ahead and go back to the beginning of the article. It starts off with a question. What do you get when you mix travel and adventure with fresh food and a love of cooking? So to mix, of course, means to combine. And when we're talking about cooking, we often talk about mixing ingredients together, putting the different parts of a dish together so the flavors can come together and make something delicious.
Mm.
Here we're talking about mixing together different elements into a TV show. So we've got fresh food and a love of cooking. That's the question. What's the answer?
Well, the answer, of course, is TLC's show that we're going to be talking about, Surfing the Menu, Next Generation. I wanted to point out the title of the article. It talks about having an epic Australian food odyssey. An odyssey here is referring to a long journey where a lot of adventure and excitement happens. Epic is being used as an adjective. It's also a noun. It's a long poem if it's a noun. But We often use epic nowadays as slang. You know, if you see something really cool or awesome or spectacular, you know, you could say, oh, it was epic. It might have been a concert you went to, or maybe for me it would be a baseball game and some play that some player made was epic. Here it's just kind of extremely great in size, awesome, really cool. We could use all those words for that. So to get back to the answer to the first question in the article, we are going to be talking about TLC's new show. And of all the shows they do, Joe, my favorites, of course, are the ones that are around food, that focus on food.
Yeah, their cooking shows are definitely top-notch.
Yeah.
They've got some really great ones. And this show also features a couple of guys
mm-hmm.
who were on another show that we're going to talk about a little bit later before. They were on the show before.
Mm.
Now, guiding you along this succulent odyssey through heavenly feasts are two of Australia's finest chefs. They're going on a succulent odyssey. Succulent is an adjective we use to describe food that is especially delicious. Often it's used for dishes that are kind of juicy and very flavorful.
Yeah.
You can say it's succulent. Like, as if the meat was succulent, it means it was kind of juicy, melt in your mouth almost, very tender.
Mm.
That's what succulent is.
Yeah.
We're also saying heavenly feast. If something is heavenly, well, it's like something that you would enjoy if you were in paradise, if you were in heaven, in other words. So remember, heaven is like paradise. It's the place that you believe you might go to in the afterlife. You know, if you've lived a good life, you'll go there and you can enjoy all of eternity, just doing the things that you like, eating the things that you love, that sort of thing.
Only the good things are in heaven.
Only the good things are there, none of the bad. So if a feast, which is a large meal, is
uh-huh.
heavenly, you know it's going to be good. So our guides are these two fine chefs,
right.
Dan Churchill and Hayden Quinn, okay? You might not know the names, or if you're familiar with these TLC cooking shows, maybe you already know these two.
Well, I've actually seen MasterChef Australia. It's one of the cooking shows that I like to watch. There's MasterChef that's produced in America. It's not as fun. It's more silly, I think. And then there's one in Great Britain, which is my favorite. But the MasterChef Australia is fun to watch, and I love their accents in Australia. We haven't mentioned the fun accent they have. It's very different from either England or America or Canada, even. It's a fun kind of accent. It seems like they are chewing all their vowels to me. But let's get back to these two chefs, Dan Churchill and Hayden Quinn. It says they're experience and expertise in the kitchen. Both have been cooking since childhood, and they completed that show called MasterChef Australia. It makes them perfect for being the host for this particular show. Now, you can have experience in something where you've done it a lot, you know what you're doing. Expertise, it's pronounced both ways, with whatever way you like. What do you like, Joe?
I say expertise.
I find myself going back and forth, so sometimes I will say expertise and expertise. They're both correct. They're very well trained. They know what they're doing. The show is called MasterChef, you know. If you're a master, you're pretty good at something. They test them in all sorts of cooking challenges on that show. So these two gentlemen will be acting as the hosts on this show, and you're going to be traveling around Australia in search of the freshest ingredients and naturally the best surf spots. So you're going to be eating and, I guess, surfing as well. So it means you're going to be by the ocean. Ingredients are things that we put into what we make. So if I'm making cookies, I'll have ingredients like flour, sugar, vanilla, chocolate chips, because I'm making chocolate chip cookies, salt, things like that. Those are the ingredients.
So they're looking for ingredients and also the best surf spots. Of course, Australia is famous throughout the world for its great surfing places, nice beaches, great waves.
Yeah.
There's actually a place in Australia called Surfer's Paradise.
Oh.
So that must mean it's pretty good, right? If it's Surfer's Paradise.
It should be.
So we're going to get some food and we're going to get some surfing in as well.
Yay.
Let's get on to our first episode of the program. It says it sees Dan and Hayden on the road to Noosa, a small resort town on the Sunshine Coast.
Mm.
A resort town is a place that people tend to go when they have a vacation, when they're going somewhere on holiday. often a resort town will have some special reason for people to go there, mm-hmm. Some special attraction. For example, if a town is very picturesque, if it's up in the mountains, they might have a bunch of little hotels or bed and breakfasts, B&Bs as we call them, and that mm-hmm. would be a resort town. Maybe not a lot of people actually live there right. year-round, but a lot of people will visit as tourists. They will come there and go to the gift shops and the restaurants, and they will take pictures. So we call it a resort town, or we might also call it a tourist town.
Mm-hmm.
Usually not a lot of people live there, as I said, year-round. They're usually small towns, very picturesque. And this one is on the Sunshine Coast. So I'm guessing, just based on the name, they yes. must get a lot of sun there. Hopefully not a lot of rain. I hope they didn't just say, hey, let's think of a name that will make people come here. It rains a lot, so... People don't like the weather. Let's call it the Sunshine Coast.
No.
No, I'm sure they wouldn't do that. They must get a lot of sun, so it's probably really nice in Noosa.
It sounds beautiful. So in the next sentence, it says tourists flock to Noosa, not only for its white sand beaches, those are the best, you guys, the white sand, and also for the tropical rainforests that are there. There are also some famed markets full of brightly colored produce, freshly baked bread and dairy products. Straight from the farm, this place sounds great. If people flock somewhere, it means they're going in large numbers together. We'll also use flock as a measure word, liangzi, when we're talking about birds. Birds will flock in a group, and a flock of birds will fly somewhere. Maybe it's a change of the season. Here they're going there because it sounds terrific. White sand usually is more fine. It means smaller grains of sand. I was surprised as a kid when I finally got to go to Florida. And I had grown up in California with California beaches. That's where we always went. And the sand there isn't quite so nice. Then I went to Florida and I was like, whoa, these are great, great beaches. White sand beaches, tropical forests. If it's tropical, it gets a lot of rain. And it's usually in an area where there's a lot of humidity too. So that sounds beautiful. What else do they have there?
They also have famed markets. If something is famed, it's famous. Mm. It's very, very well known. So people all around Australia will know about these markets if you say their name. If you talk about Noosa, they'll say, oh, yeah, the place with those nice markets. And they're full of brightly colored produce. Produce.
Oh, you say produce.
Produce or produce.
Oh, I say produce.
Produce.
Okay, different pronunciations.
Either way, it is vegetables, basically. Those are
fruit, too.
Fruit and vegetables that you would get from a farm. They also have freshly baked bread and dairy products, so things like milk and cheese.
Cream.
Those are the main ones. things that come from basically cows or other animals that give milk. And they're straight from the farm. So you're getting it straight from the farmer. It's not going from the farmer then to a factory and then to you. It's farmers who make these things themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of talk these days about farm to table, that sort of thing, about getting things directly from the people who make them because it's better for the environment. It means they don't have to ship these things across long distances, so they don't have to use a lot of gasoline or petroleum products, less oil. So not as much pollution is made when it's farm to table. Well, that's a good point here now to take a short break. Let's listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们要看的是第三单元。好，今天的主题跟食物有关。我们要来看两位 Australian。两位澳洲厨师他们做菜的经历。好，这呢跟 TLC 的旅游生活频道它的一个新节目有关。这个节目呢它的中文翻译是冲浪男孩好滋味。好，我们先看文章的开头呢，这边呢他就提到了，好，这个节目的内容当然有把旅游冒险和食物以及对烹饪的热爱结合在一起。那我们提到这个节目呢当中有两位厨师，而这两位厨师呢就要带着观众然后踏上这趟美味之旅。好，我们就来看一下，这里有个字非常的特别，就是 Odyssey。Odyssey 这个字呢，当然在这边你可以说它就是相当于在讲 journey 一个旅程。不过呢 ，Odyssey 我们如果把 O 大写之后，就是在历史上、在文学上很有名的，也就是 Homer 荷马他的 英雄史诗作品，我们中文呢翻成奥德赛。那这个作品的内容，因为它谈的呢是在讲特洛伊战争之后，这个希腊的英雄他叫 Odysseus， 他怎么样在海外呢漂流了十年，历经了各种的灾难风险，然后最后他回到了他的故乡。好，那因为这个背景，所以我们就知道Odyssey， 它如果把它变成小写，成为我们现在用的一个普通的名词，它的意思上当然还是 journey， 可是这个 journey 呢，应该就不是很平常的 journey， 它应该是充满着各种刺激、有趣的冒险历程。这也就是为什么，在这边作者他选择了 Odyssey 这个字。好，再来另外这里还有一个字，他提到的是 succulent。在修饰这个 Odyssey 用 succulent， 大家可想见应该有特别的理由。的确，这是跟食物有关的一个字。 succulent 它本来就是讲食物呢，它如果你说不管是肉类水果也好，这个咬起来的感觉呢是很多汁的，很美味的，那我们就会用 succulent 这个形容词。所以呢在这边非常的妥当，因为我们说这是一个 succulent journey，意思就是这其实也是一个美味之旅。好，那我们再来看完单字之后，还要看这个句子的句构。从 guiding 开始的这个句子， guiding you along the succulent odyssey， 从这边开始一直到最后结束，我们要看一下这个句子的开头，看起来主词吗？不是哦，因为这是一个倒装句。其实呢它的动词我们要先找到在于 are， 这个 are 这个 be 动词后面所接的 two of Australia's finest chefs， 这边才是它的主词。所以说其实这边它的句构上，因为要强调主厨是谁，然后把焦点放在句子的后面，所以呢它变成了倒装句，也就是在 be 动词后面的原来的补语位置上的东西搬到了句首，而反而把主词放在动词后面。好，这种主词补语倒装的句构其实还蛮常见的，这也是一种修辞法。有时候你这样写句子是为了要强调句子中的某一个部分，以这个句子来说，它的焦点就是后面两位主厨究竟是谁。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back, guys. We're focused in on a new show on TLC called Surfing the Menu Next Generation. And we've got two hosts that are very fine chefs, Dan Churchill and Hayden Quinn. They're from Australia, and they're actually going to be taking us on a tour around Australia. And while they're introducing us to some really yummy, delicious food, we're also going to be seeing some beautiful scenery where you can do some surfing. Do you surf, Joe?
I've always wanted to.
I've never done it.
Next time I go to the beach, I want to try it out. But yeah, I know it's really hard.
Yeah.
The guys who are good at it, they make it seem so easy.
It's not.
But I know to stand up, just to stand up on the board is really, really difficult.
You have to have really, really good balance and very strong stomach muscles.
Yes. You know, all those surfer guys, you never see a guy with a beer belly. They've always got a six pack. So, you know, I've got some work to do on that front.
No.
I'm sure these guys, Dan Churchill and Hayden
Quinn, they look good. Yeah.
They probably got some good beach bods going on.
Okay, let's talk about what they're doing. The last time we left you, they were talking about how they have these beautiful sand beaches and tropical rainforests. They have famed markets. Just to let you guys know, famed and famous, you could just substitute famous here as well. Famous markets there. They've got produce, freshly baked bread, which sounds so good, and dairy products straight from the farm, which is always fun. Dan and Hayden are in paradise as they stroll through the stalls, sampling everything from olive oil to juicy pineapples. Oh, this sounds I'm hungry right now. Okay, if they're in paradise, they're in a place where they're so happy. All of their needs are being met. They can't think of anything better. It's like heaven, as Joe explained earlier. If you stroll, you're not going anywhere in a rush. It's kind of a leisurely pace that you're taking. And sometimes you don't even really have a destination. You're just walking around, looking at things. I tend to stroll everywhere because I don't walk fast. And they're going through the stalls. Now, everyone who's listening knows about Taiwan's night markets. We've got a lot of vendors who have stalls in these night markets. It's similar here. And if you're sampling stuff, it just means you're taking little bites and little bits of pieces of things and just tasting a little bit to see if you like it. They've got lots of things. Everything from, here's our range, olive oil to juicy pineapples.
So they're trying all these different things just a little bit. When you go to these types of markets, they'll often offer you samples saying, come try my stuff, because they know as soon as you try it, you're going to say, that's delicious. I'm going to buy some of that.
Totally.
But that's what they're hoping for anyway. So they're just going for a stroll. It's a nice, relaxing day. They finally find what they're looking for in the market, kimchi, a popular Korean dish of pickled cabbage and red chili peppers, preserved with various other vegetables and seasonings. So, if you've ever gone to South Korea, or if you've ever even been to a Korean restaurant, you know what kimchi is. They serve it everywhere and with everything for Korean food. I've never had a Korean meal without kimchi. I think you always get it.
I think you always get it. You're right.
It's always just a little side dish that comes with everything.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be very good for you, very healthy. Korean people swear by it. They basically, everything that's good, they say, comes from kimchi.
Oh, really?
Yes, they do. They say,
funny.
It cures all diseases. Anything that's wrong with you, it will sort you out. It's just pickled cabbage.
Yeah.
If something is pickled, it's just preserved in brine, basically.
In vinegar, right?
In vinegar. You just put it in a jar and leave it there, basically.
For a long time.
For a long time. But it's also very spicy. That comes from the chili peppers.
Ooh, it's hot.
And to preserve something, yes, it means you save it for a long time. Keep it in good condition. So some foods are preserved foods.
Yeah.
You put it in a jar or in a container and you can just save it for a very long time. There are also seasonings involved. Seasonings are things like, well, salt and pepper would be two very basic ones.
Mm-hmm.
Things that you put on food to change or improve the flavor.
Yeah, some sort of herb perhaps. Now, Dan, he plans to use kimchi in his recipe for Korean pork with kimchi and coconut rice. That's an interesting combo. He's taking some Korean flavors there and mixing them with some Hawaiian flavors, I would say, coconut rice. Oh, no, even Thailand.
That's right.
Thailand loves coconut
rice. So it's like fusion.
Yeah, it's fusion food. If you take two different kinds of cuisine or even two types of music, any two or three or four things from different cultures and mix them together, it's fusion, F-U-S-I-O-N. This is a fusion that sounds really yummy. If you have a recipe, you guys, it's just a list of the ingredients and the cooking instructions that you need to produce a particular dish. You may not need a recipe for some of your favorite dishes because you make them all the time, but if you're trying something new, you'd better use a recipe to get it right.
Now, after gathering the proper ingredients, they head to a cooking station overlooking the green Australian countryside. So this sounds like a wonderful location for cooking.
Mm.
Their cooking station is actually overlooking the green Australian countryside. Overlooking means that you are in a place where you're kind of high up and you're over something else, so you can look down upon it. So they can look down and see the green Australian countryside.
Mm.
For example, like my balcony on my apartment overlooks... Well, nothing. It overlooks the apartment next to mine.
I was gonna get jealous there for a minute.
Nothing to be jealous about. It overlooks my neighbor's place. This is much nicer. This overlooks the green Australian countryside. And then they set the recipe in motion.
Mm.
To set something in motion means to begin a series of events that will lead to a certain result. So here they're setting the recipe in motion. It just means they're starting to cook. They're starting to prepare the ingredients and do the things that they need to do to cook this dish, this Korean pork with kimchi and coconut rice.
Yeah, a lot of times when they use that phrase, set something in motion, this is a verb phrase, it means to get something started, right? So they're getting started and they're cooking, and before long, They've crafted a dish of melt-in-your-mouth pork neck topped with bok choy, kimchi, and the finishing touch, a perfectly fried egg, which is very popular in Korean food. Eggs make everything taste better, I think. But if you craft something, guys, we use this verb to talk about using your hands and using a lot of skill. A lot of times we'll talk about carpenters crafting or handcrafting a piece of furniture, which means it's extra special. It's not made by big machines. So they've crafted a dish, and this pork neck is described as melting in your mouth. If something melts in your mouth, it's very tender. If it's chocolate, it just melts because it's chocolate. But it's really delicious, and it's easy to eat, and it sounds lovely. A finishing touch means one last little thing you do to make something perfect. It doesn't have to be food, though. Maybe for your outfit, you add a cute hat for a finishing touch.
Now, with only a few simple ingredients and some tantalizing Asian flavors, Dan and Hayden transport viewers away from Australia and into the fragrant kitchens of South Korea. Mm-hmm. If something is tantalizing, it's appealing. It makes you like or enjoy something. These flavors are tantalizing because they're delicious. Dan and Hayden transport viewers. They take us somewhere. Transport means to move someone or something from one place to another. They're taking us away from Australia and into the fragrant kitchens of South Korea. Fragrant is an adjective we use to describe something that smells very nice or very appealing or very tantalizing, as we learned in this sentence. The kitchen is fragrant. It's just full of good scents, delicious smells that make you feel very hungry. All right, that brings us to the end of our article for today. Let's listen to our Chinese teacher one last time.
好，我们继续来往下看。下面呢，提到说这两位名厨他们要做菜，然后在 Noosa 这个地方找食材。而他说到这个市场，这个市集，他们到这里来，什么样的材料素材都有。那我们知道有一个偏语在英文里很好用的，就是这里写的 everything from olive oil to juicy pineapples。我们知道Everything from A to B 这个句构就是告诉你什么东西通通都找得到，你想要看什么大概都有。好，记得这个片语很好用哦。再来，我们继续往下读。那这两位名厨在市集里找到他们要的素材，当然最重要的是他们要做的菜到底是什么菜？原来是一个韩式料理，叫做韩式泡菜猪肉与椰浆饭。好，那我们在这一段里面，他就会提到他们怎么样去烹调，然后呢，这个菜呢是怎么料理的。不过我们要特别注意的，就是这边这个段里面他用到的分词部分。我们先举过去分词的部分，比如说这道韩式的料理呢，它里面有放泡菜，然后有放红辣椒，然后在 chili peppers 后面逗点，接着 preserved with various other vegetables and seasonings。 这个 preserved 它其实就是一个过去分词，当然我们都要去了解为什么要用过去分词，那是因为我们前面的食材说呢，它是被腌制被保存起来，所以我们会用过去分词。好，分词的部分其实很重要，大家要仔细学哦。我们今天就讲解到这里，下次见。
That's all the time we have for the program today. We've been learning all about the epic Australian food odyssey, featuring our two chefs, Dan Churchill and Hayden Quinn, taking us throughout the Australian countryside in search of fresh ingredients, great food, and some good surfing spots as well. We've got another day talking about this great show, Surfing the Menu Next Generation. So please join us again tomorrow on English Digest. Until then, I'm Joe.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.